This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Dozens of people were arrested earlier this week in Raleigh, North Carolina, when they confronted state lawmakers returning from recess. The protesters were demanding that elected representatives repeal the Public Facilities Privacy and Security Act, which is an anti-transgender bill that was signed into law recently. Among those arrested was my guest, Mara Kiesling, the executive director of the National Center for Transgender Equality. Welcome back to the show, Mara.
Thank you for having me.
So we had spoken to you several weeks ago when the bill was first passed. What was the scene like in Raleigh this week? How have people been organizing for this moment to confront lawmakers? I saw these boxes and boxes carrying signatures by people demanding a repeal of the law that was known as HB2.
It was really exciting and interesting. There were thousands of people. I don't really know how many, and I'm a bad counter. You don't want me estimating crowds, but there were a lot of people. What was most spectacular about it was the intersectionality of the organizing that went on. HB2 not only is very bad for transgender people around bathrooms, but what the legislature and the governor were trying to do with HB2, they tried to blame it on us and they tried to scare people about trans people. But what they also did was made it impossible for localities to increase the minimum wage or to pass living wage laws. They stripped all of the state's anti-discrimination laws of the ability for enforcement. So people who face discrimination because of race, nationality, sex, or I'm missing one. I said them in a different order this time and confused myself. But race, nationality.
It's pretty broad, basically.
Oh, religion mm-hmm. and sex now have no ability to sue in state courts. So this is a direct threat on all of us. So you mentioned that I was arrested. I was actually arrested as part of an NAACP action. Talk about something to just feel really good about, that I got to participate in a direct action run by the North Carolina NAACP is just such a remarkable honor. So it was really a continuation of their Moral Mondays protests.
But right, this Reverend time, William Barber, who leads those, was there. He spoke out against HB2 as well. So you were there alongside him.
I was right there with him, and so honored to be really standing up for workers and people in poverty and people who face all different kinds of marginalization. We really are in this together, and the North Carolina legislature really is after all of us. Hmm.
Tell us about your arrest. I understand more than 50 people were arrested, and you were arrested as part of a sit-in?
Yeah, I want to say first what I was not arrested for. I was not arrested for violating HB2. I used the women's room in the governor's office. I used the women's room in the state legislative building. Later in the day, I used the restroom in the jails. My colleagues from NCTE who were down with me, they were using all the correct bathrooms as well. They weren't enforcing HB2. I was actually arrested for, technically speaking, a fire code violation, and then trespassing when I refused to leave because of the fire code violation. But basically, we went into the Speaker of the House's office. Speaker Moore has been one of the significant problems here. He's one of the people who has said, I don't care about the state's economy. I certainly don't care about the state's people. So we went into his office and we sat there and were arrested.
Hmm. Now, what about the fact that this group had this very large diversity of people who were present, and they were confronting these lawmakers, and lawmakers didn't just see members of the LGBT community, they saw a much broader swath of people. Did that scare them? Or, how did lawmakers respond when they saw all of you out there?
I sure hope they were, startled into reality, but I don't know. I would say, we didn't, ask people to raise hands or anything, but I would say LGBT people were definitely in the minority on Monday. But you know, the legislative leaders, Senator Berger in the Senate, Speaker Moore and the governor, they just don't know what they're doing now. They were so surprised. They thought they could you know, hurt poor people, hurt people of color. But if they just blamed it on trans children being predators, they'd get away with it, because trans people, they thought, were marginalized and friendless and helpless. And when they saw our coalition, I just hope it has startled them back into reality, because this is not going away until they repeal this law, and until they stop passing the other bad things they've done, things like voter suppression,
right.
Straight up voter suppression, straight up redistricting laws that have really taken away representation for Black North Carolinians. This stuff's not okay, and we're not going to let it stand.
Right. In fact, the same week that these protests around HB2 happened, a court actually upheld North Carolina's voter ID law, which is considered the most repressive in the nation in terms of, you know, just the strictest in the nation. And I'm wondering if there were any supporters of the bill present, HB2. You know, were there people who showed up to say, you know, it's all right, lawmakers, we got your back?
There was a counter protest. I actually never saw it, so I don't really know how big it was. But there was a counter protest, and I know that several state legislators, including Senator Buck Newton, who the day they passed the law and I was down there, he seemed to be the floor manager on the Senate side. Hmm. And as I recall, even spoke in the House. So I don't know if he was the lead sponsor or the writer. But he's also one of the major party's nominees for attorney general. And he has been saying horrible, horrible things about trans people that I hope everybody would think the state's top law enforcement official shouldn't be saying. So, I hope the people in North Carolina carefully consider his words and his deeds when they think about whether they vote for him. I don't mean that in any way, in a partisan way. I'm not telling North Carolinians what to do, but gosh, I hope people are smart enough to think through things. But I kind of wish he was smart enough to watch what he was doing and saying too.
Right. What are the legislative efforts in place now to repeal the bill? Are there efforts by lawmakers who were on the side of protesters who are going to then, you know, bring the anger over the bill into the House?
Yeah. So two bills were introduced. One was just a repeal bill, and one that would totally repeal HB2. And the other was a bill that would repeal HB2 and replace it with a really robust anti-discrimination law to protect North Carolinians.
Hmm. Wow.
We're expecting the governor and his legislative cronies to introduce a bill to repeal parts of the law. We don't really know which parts. The governor's made it clear that he doesn't want to repeal the bathroom things, because I think, honestly, at this point, he doesn't want to admit that he was wrong and kind of dumb.
Thing is what he's trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely. But our coalition wants every bit of that repealed. And I think, just as importantly, we want this extremist legislature to stop voting these things in. Now, the problem, obviously, the rub, as it were, is that it's an extremist legislature that passed these bills. So to think that on their own they're going to have the heart or the brains to undo this is optimistic. However, they are just getting so battered economically. I just read today that a major national foundation had scheduled a four-day conference for, I think, 500 people in Asheville, and they've just canceled it, because it's about helping children's lives by ending discrimination and marginalization. And they can't have that conference in North Carolina. I read yesterday about another conference that was supposed to go to North Carolina that's now going to Baltimore. And that these are the conferences that are already on the books that are being canceled.
Right, I understand the Honda Civic Tour, which is this huge huge thing in North Carolina is boycotting the state over this law. And so do you think that those could sort of, rather than the protesters, that the corporate boycott might spur these legislature more because of who they really answer to?
Well, this is one of the legislatures that hasn't expanded Medicaid with, essentially free federal government money, and there are tens of thousands of North Carolinians who can't get health care because this legislature and this governor wanted to make a political point. They wanted to hurt trans people to make a political point. Any governor that would call, I don't mean he did this specifically, but basically what HB 2 does is say that a first grade trans child is a predator. Anybody who would put that forward to score political points and just sort of scoff at 180,000 signatures and just think nothing of all of this economic damage, I really don't know how to get through to them. And so it's really up to the voters of North Carolina for what they want to do.
There's also, in a way, a cultural boycott of North Carolina happening. A number of pop stars have canceled their concerts, among them Pearl Jam, Bruce Springsteen, Annie DeFranco, Ringo Starr, Cyndi Lauper, Bryan Adams. And, these are some big names. And so it'll be interesting to see how this battle plays out. Well, Mara, I want to thank you so much. But finally, how can people outside North Carolina, those who can't travel there to join folks like yourself to get arrested and make a political point, how can people outside North Carolina join in with this issue? Because it's not just in North Carolina that these so-called bathroom bills are popping up, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You can sign our pledge to flush discrimination at transequality.org. You can support any of the great groups that are working on this in North Carolina, including the North Carolina NAACP, Southerners on New Ground, Equality North Carolina. You can certainly support our organization, the National Center for Transgender Equality, at transequality.org. But keep talking about it. If this comes to your state, and figure out how to fight it. We'll have resources on our website all the time, and we really appreciate everybody's support.
And here in Southern California, where this program is based, the Los Angeles Unified School District recently actually unveiled its first gender-neutral bathroom in school. So I'm certainly proud of that here in LA. Mara, thank you as always for joining us, and good luck to you.
So nice talking to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Mara Kiesling is the Executive Director of the National Center for Transgender Equality. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, and you can find our interviews on iTunes and Vimeo.